knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is, I believe it's been over a month since you declared spring had sprung.
Yes, I believe it has been well over a month.
And it was sweatshirt weather, and it was very exciting because it was in the 60s, high 60s even.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. Now it's been cold.
It's been snowing.
It snowed the other day.
It's snowing.
Probably going to continue, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But it's not just Schadenfreude and like, haha, you're the groundhog of the podcast.
Sure, sure.
This leads me to, I had a can of soup the other day.
Okay.
It was like, it's cold out, soup time.
Sure.
So I decided to have a soup. And I'm a fan. Okay, fine. Look, I'm not the most adventurous person in the world,
sure,
when it comes to food.
Sure.
And I'm not a great cook, so I'll go with a Campbell's chunky soup.
Naturally.
I'll go with the chicken noodle.
It happens.
Sure.
People love it.
Yeah.
It's been there for a long time,
it's
for a reason.
Simple, because it's good.
Yeah.
People like it.
Totally.
Fine.
Yeah.
I was at the store and I saw they have a new one.
Oh, no.
Spicy chicken noodle. And so I tried it, and it's actually kind of spicy. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So anyway,
really?
That's my bright spot.
Well, that's
it was
nice.
Not underwhelming. I thought it was going to be like a tiny little bit of spice.
Yeah.
But it was good. It's good.
That's nice.
Yep.
It does seem strange, you know, like the Campbell's Chunky Chicken Noodle Soup.
Mm-hmm.
Been around for a long, long time. This is the first time they've tried putting spice in it.
I think so. No spices before. Previously, no salt, no pepper.
This is the first time they were like, what if we put some of that stuff in there that I've been hearing about on the TV shows?
I find a lot of the times when things have spicy counterparts, they don't mean it.
No. And they don't have the heart. Yeah.
Yeah. But this warmed me up on a cold March Chicago day. So anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is yesterday, when we're recording this, my wife and I celebrated our second anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Second wedding anniversary. We were married 2 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
What's the traditional second anniversary gift?
No idea.
Pearls?
No idea. What we did, she got me some nice flowers,
mm-hmm.
and I took care of 5 dogs for a week, including her. So we did good for our anniversary, but we cooked a really nice meal last night together. It was awesome.
Uh-huh. What'd you make?
We made steak and Brussels sprouts and bacon,
mm-hmm.
and some crispy shallots on top of those.
That's the traditional second anniversary meal.
I mean, it is for us from now on, because that was amazing.
Okay, so I'm looking this up.
Sure.
It's
what is it?
Cotton.
Cotton, so like sheets.
Probably.
Yeah,
that's the second anniversary traditionally.
Right.
Modern.
Okay.
China. You have to
Modern
buy her a country.
Is like a tea set.
No,
country. Oh, you got to buy her a country.
Uh-huh.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Could I start small, like, I don't know, Luxembourg, France?
Yeah, you probably could do that.
Okay.
They really upped the ante for the modern, because, like, I think cotton probably is a little cheaper than China sets, usually. First anniversary traditionally is paper, and then it got upgraded
sure.
to clocks.
It got upgraded. It went from paper to clocks?
That's a little weird.
That is odd. Who makes these rules?
So you're saying that she got you flowers?
Yes.
She was way off on that. That's the fourth anniversary.
Fourth anniversary is flowers. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So you guys are all over the place.
There's so many goddamn rules with this whole shit.
It is. It's an institution that's based on rules, and that's the only reason society stays cohesive.
Can't I just own a woman? Isn't that what marriage has always been about?
That's the traditional sixth anniversary gift. Personal ownership. So,
oh, Britain.
Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be talking about the 22nd.
Right.
Which is Friday's episode. A lot of stuff had happened. A lot of breaking news.
Sure.
Actually, some news breaks while Alex is on air.
Okay.
In the middle of the show is when the attack on Moscow the concert happens. So we get to see that unfold in kind of real time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
On Alex's show. So we'll get down to business on this and all of the ins and outs of that. But first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, happy birthday, Noor and Lulu. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, hey, Heather, check this out. Zob Rombie. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I heard Dragula the other day. That song's fucking dumb. Anyway, cheers from Portugal. Ciao. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mac and Z, enemies forever. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
We got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. So thank you so much to Abby. Get your cat Tyler to stop eating fucking plastic. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I don't like to hype things, but people are designed to hype. I am going to paint once a week on air, and I'm going to let callers call in. We'll also take emails and request what you want to see me paint.
1, 2, 3, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
There you go.
So party time. I'm going to get in your guts. And the Nazis, in my view, were thugs that shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Okay.
I'm thinking about doing some shows, too, where I run the whole thing myself, just hit record, and sit in the dark with just a few candles and candlelight and talk about the nature of the world universe.
I mean, you know, a big old juicy ribeye, folks, is as good as, you know, sex with your wife. I mean, let's just get down to reality here.
I'm going to go Donkey Kong, King Kong crazy in about 45 days. America sucks. We're all racist. It's over.
Doesn't mean I want to go live, say, in some places in Asia where you get off the plane over there, folks. They karate chop you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
So, Alex starts off the show here on Friday, and looming in the background is that prior to this, he had posted, there was a video that had come out of drones killing 4 civilians in Gaza.
Right.
And Alex had posted the video of this saying Israel has lost the high ground.
Sure.
And people had really responded to this. It was all over social media. People were, saying, congratulations, you've been outflanked by Alex Jones.
Sure.
These kinds
sure.
of things. So there was a very large groundswell of attention that Alex was getting from this as he comes into studio on Friday.
It is always nice when you see stuff being used as a prop, you know, stuff like this, mm-hmm. you know, to be used as a prop by social media people to kind of argue with each other. That's just mwah. That's good stuff.
So Alex has this going on, and he starts the show by discussing his post on social media.
Right.
We have Israel pushing in the last few months since October everyone into southern Gaza and then indiscriminately bombing men, women, and children. This is destroying Israel's image forever in the world view. Why are they doing it? Why did Israel stand down? I'm going to be laying all of this out. Just because I don't hate Israel does not mean I support what Israel is doing. Just like I love America, but I didn't support much of what we did in 2003 in Iraq and other areas. It's just unbelievable. And I put out footage that they admit's real that was leaked from the Israeli Defense Ministry, because some of their people are upset, of what's clearly teenage kids. They look kind of autistic wandering around in the middle of the road in southern Gaza, and they get killed by drones. And it's right out of something from Terminator, Skynet. We have the up-close, very graphic footage of this. This is footage you're seeing from far away. And immediately I got hit by hundreds of thousands of comments, literally, saying it went viral, you know, millions and millions, tens of millions of views, like 6 million views on my ex account, but it got picked up everywhere. This morning it was 40 million views in different versions of what I said. People put out. And it was, oh, these are Hamas. You're covering up for Hamas now. No, Hamas has tunnels under the ground. They don't walk down the middle of the street. So it's simply insane, and it's wrong. And I'm going to read you the definition of genocide. This is genocide. And I've got hours, if you'd like, of Israeli television saying we're going to genocide them all. And Netanyahu quoting out of the Bible the verses where you're meant to go kill all your enemies. And they go, well, in World War II, we carpet bombed civilians. There was an up-close video of it happening.
So I'm a little troubled by that line of thinking that Alex seems to have, that somehow atrocities they're committed, they only count if there's up-close video of it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, nobody knew until later.
Except people did know.
I mean, I don't understand how that's okay.
It's not.
That's not okay.
It's not, but it is a strange place for his brain to go.
Yeah, it's weird to think it. That's mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we all think weird things from time to time.
Sure. He it has to speak extemporaneously for a long time.
It's incredibly weird to Very say weird. It. To say it is crazy.
So in the last few days, people have responded quite a bit to a post that Alex made on Twitter where he called Israel's actions genocide and said that it needs to stop. And the responses to this have been very interesting. On the most basic level, Alex is making a point that a lot of people agree with. And it's a view that a lot of people across the political aisle from Alex gravitate towards. It's good and understandable to recognize that Alex is opposed to the Israeli government's actions, but it's important to not pretend that he actually has a good position on this. If you think that Alex gives a shit about the people in Gaza, you are wrong. Alex believes that Israel stood down and allowed the October 7th attack to happen so that they would have a pretext to carry out this war, which is actually part of a globalist plot in order to send a bunch of Islamic immigrants into the United States who would be Hamas Hezbollah sleeper cells for the globalists to use against the American public. Alex's feelings about Gaza cannot be disentangled from his anti-immigrant positions. He doesn't talk about this issue a ton, and when he does, it pretty much always leads back to a position that boils down to, sure, I don't like what Israel's doing, but I don't want them here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bedrock of this issue for him, this feeling of, I don't want them here.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people using Alex's tweet as a means of criticizing folks on the left for having bad takes on Gaza, and I understand that impulse fully. In most circles, the name Alex Jones is basically code for a person who's an asshole and wrong about everything.
Yeah.
So it's a dunk on other folks to essentially say, you're more wrong than the asshole who's wrong about everything.
Mm.
But I would caution people that it might not be worth it to use Alex in that way. It plays into his hand quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we're just never going to get there, right? It's like, put him in a dome. I'm telling you, domes. Mm. We can visit him, but you can't have him out and about.
Do you suggest that it would be good to have him have a residency at the dome?
I don't know. I mean, I would suggest that if we lock the doors from the outside, he's definitely going to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He'll put on a show. I think that people obviously are responding to this in a way that is probably not taking into account his full position.
Yeah.
And that's kind of intentional, I think, on Alex's part. And another thing that you need to really recognize is if you look at that tweet, there's no way Alex wrote it.
Right.
Not because he wouldn't say something like that.
Sure.
But because their syntax...
It's spelled correctly.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
his voice at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I think... Give him too much credit, even when you use him as a cudgel.
Yeah, because... And here's the like, fucking nail in that coffin. There's no end to the Russia shit. There's no end to the apologia for... Oh, no. Russia's actually right. There's no atrocity that Putin could commit that would kick him off Team Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not even about what Israel is doing.
No.
This is about what's okay for Alex to say out loud. Really.
Yeah.
It's about where we are in a conversation on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he gets off this topic, although he will come back to it. Because there's some other headlines that I thought he was going to actually spend more time on.
Sure.
And it turns out they are just things he randomly saw in his stack.
Massive news. Global fertility crisis threatens 97% of world population. Top scientists warn world population to fall for first time since the Black Death 600 years ago.
So these are two headlines about the same research. One of the headlines is from Sputnik and the other is from The Telegraph. But it all traces back to a paper published in The Lancet titled, quote, Global Fertility in 204 Countries and Territories, 1950 to 2021, with forecasts to 2100, a comprehensive demographic analysis for the Global Burden of Disease Study 2021. When Alex says that this will affect 97% of the population, that's a reflection that the research found that 97% of the countries they modeled will have fertility rates under 2.1, the traditionally accepted replacement rate, by 2100. The researchers used a complex model that includes varying scenarios like meeting the global contraceptive need and the implementation of pronatal policies. And according to their projections, even doing everything you can to encourage births isn't going to fully turn these numbers around. You can do some stuff to help, but... That's probably not going to not going to work. Under their assessment, it's not the end of the world or anything, but governments are encouraged to consider the implications for policy and do things like rethink our relationship with immigration and implement pronatal policies like offering parental leave and tax incentives. Alex doesn't like that stuff. So, you know, it's just this is just a doom headline.
Right.
97% of the world's fucked.
If you so their paper is kind of like this, like if you make it so it's not the single worst financial decision of your life to have a child, then people will be more likely to have a child.
It will make according to their modeling, it'll make people more likely to.
Sure.
But may not stop most countries from dropping below 2.1.
Right. Because I mean, boy. It's really that whole maintaining control over women thing. You just can't do it these days.
That's one of the big variables that they explored was educational attainment for women and the impact that that has.
Yeah, you can't hit them in the head and keep them in your cave anymore. That's going to mess with the global population.
So this I thought was going to be a big thing because it's one of his big headlines.
Right.
And then he had another one that I thought was going to be big. And so here's that.
Huge thing happened yesterday. We barely even mentioned it. Should have covered it more. More developments today. Taiwan now admits U.S. troops in Taiwan. That's a major red line for China and their dictator Xi Jinping.
So I thought there would be more conversation about this, considering the scale of this headline.
Yeah, this is a big one.
So there aren't U.S. troops in Taiwan in the sense that they're going there to fight or anything like that.
Right.
There are U.S. troops in Taiwan training Taiwanese military. There was a story about this recently because Taiwan's defense minister, Kuo Cheng, acknowledged their presence when taking questions from the press. But this isn't news. The Wall Street Journal reported on this as far back as 2021, and even previous to that, Taiwanese special forces would come here for training. They generally don't make a big deal out of this in order not to piss China off too much, but it's not like all parties aren't aware of this.
Yeah.
This isn't... the crossing of the red line, like Alex is saying.
I mean, I'm just things are getting tighter after that Hong Kong law where it's like now we you don't want to live in Hong Kong now. You know that after that one, Taiwan is very very much on edge. I would imagine so. Yeah.
And that's why wouldn't you have American people come and train?
I would want that.
I don't know. So I sincerely thought like, okay, these are the top stories of the day, but it turns out it's not really. He mostly is going to end up wanting to talk about the Israel-Gaza situation vis-a-vis his tweet.
I was going to say it's because it's about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then his master plan is to go on Twitter, go on Spaces, and have people comment on his tweet.
Oh my god!
And the world situation. I think kind of trying to get a sense of where the audience is at on this,
right?
And how to play the ball. But also, Alex gets lost in thought, thinking about his earliest memories.
Some of my earliest memories in East Texas and in Central Texas. Sitting around the breakfast table with my grandfathers and my father and my uncles, hearing about the coming of the one world government and the mega computers that would control our every action and the beast computer in Brussels, Belgium, and the plan to destroy the family and how the mega banks control the communist movement worldwide. And my mother's father talking about space stations and ICBMs and army combat robots, because he worked on those secretly. And so it was put into my DNA 45 years ago, 46, 47. I remember being 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And both sides of my family were not talking about the Dallas Cowboys, even though they watched the Dallas Cowboys, and Tom Landry would come over to the house sometimes and visit my mom's dad. They were best friends and roommates at UT on the UT football team. But we weren't talking about Tom Landry. When Tom Landry came over, it was for prayer meetings. He and my grandfather would go back in his office for up to 2 hours.
They were in love.
Clyde Hammond. not name dropping, just saying that's where I come from.
It's a bit of name dropping.
That is a bit of name dropping.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know. Your earliest memories were your family yelling a bunch of John Birch Society bullshit around.
That's
what your earliest memories were. And you know what? Here's the thing I keep thinking about. It's like, I know from watching Alex's show so much how often he's tricked by fake experts.
Sure.
How all of these people with ridiculous credentials that they are just making up wander through his door and he presents them as people who have worked on space stations.
Top scientists.
Yes.
Top scientists.
I can't imagine he doesn't have a similar relationship with family members.
I mean, okay, so if you're going to tell me that Alex's earliest memories include his mom's dad telling him about applied robotics and how much he's worked on that,
yeah,
that means that he was working on robotics somewhere between 1950 and 1980, correct? That would have to be like
Alex
mom's
was
dad.
Born in, what, 74?
Something like that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know exactly what robots he was working on from 1950 to 1980. Was he doing the chess robot in the 1912s? That was actually a small person under there.
That was Alex's grandpa.
It was Alex's grandpa.
Uh-huh. You know who the guy inside the machine was?
Who?
Tom Landry.
God damn it! Yes. They used to be in that machine for hours at a time.
That's a lot of praying.
That's a lot of praying.
But sometimes there's a lot of prayers that need to be made. So who am I to judge?
Sure, sure, sure.
But yeah, there is something, though, it always is fun about, like, there's the brag that Alex has that is like, we were talking about serious stuff, not the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then there's another brag on top of that that is like, we were friends with the coach.
I mean, you know, the most famous Cowboy coach ever, just saying.
So we get back to the discussion of the Gaza footage that Alex posted on social media.
I saw some footage, and Israel admits it's real, admits it came from the defense ministry that was leaked. Somebody was upset. I'm upset too. That shows Israel's not some monolithic, you know, thing, whether it's a savior or a bad guy. It's not monolithic, depending on your perspective. It's still not monolithic. Footage of drones killing unarmed civilians walking down the street in southern Gaza, a street that's been bulldozed. And I put it out, and it got tens of millions of views, and I got overwhelming support across the political spectrum. But there was a large minority of people saying, oh, you work for Hamas now, and how dare you? Because I said, this looks like genocide to me. And it fits the definition. The erasure of a people. Plus, they're going to take the survives, all pissed off, and ship them here. That's now official.
So I can't find any confirmation that this was footage that was leaked by someone within the defense ministry. I'm not saying that's impossible, but I don't know where that information is coming from that Alex is putting forth. The story was originally reported by Al Jazeera, who said that the video was, quote, retrieved from an Israeli drone in Gaza. And the subsequent reporting on it was that Israel said that they were, quote, investigating the incident. Mm. I have a strong suspicion that Alex is making up details to the story as he goes along, mm-hmm. because it fits better for the story he wants to tell.
Yeah.
Also, in that clip, you kind of get a sense of what I'm talking about. This story isn't about him being offended at actions being taken against a people because those actions are wrong. He thinks that killing Palestinians is part of a plot to attack the United States through immigration, which is where he really is upset about. There's a little bit of other stuff about, like, is going to turn into nuclear war. Obviously, yeah. He has some concerns on that front.
Sure.
But almost always the road comes back to, this is a plot to bring angry Muslims to the United States, and I don't like that.
Yeah, he always hides the truth in the postscript, you know? Like, here's my main threat. I don't like the way they're doing. Plus, they're going to bring him over here. And it's like, no, that's your real problem.
Mm-hmm.
You just said it.
You keep saying it.
And plus, as though the plus, hey, just an afterthought. I'm not even thinking about this. But plus, my only main problem is that they'll come here.
Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, this ends up derailing into some conversation about immigration and migrants.
Sure.
And recently, there was some video of migrants storming past the Texas National Guard and the razor wire fence.
Okay.
And trying to make it to the border itself.
Okay.
The actual border patrol, the federal wall.
No shit.
Border. Yes.
Damn.
And so Alex discusses this in an incredibly dystopian way.
Great.
And has some suggestions of ways that he would like to see this addressed that I don't think he can possibly support.
This is shocking footage of the illegal aliens, the military-aged men, many of which are on tape saying, F you, we're taking over America, we're going to take your houses, we're going to rob you, MS-13, all these gangs. the Border Patrol opens up the fence and the people run over them. Carrying drugs, God knows what. But the point is, this is not even a controlled destruction of the border. It is now officially gone, and it's beyond a dereliction of duty. It is deliberate treason against this country. So we need to declare an invasion. This is an invasion. We've got to get Trump in. We've got to have the governors of Texas moving in the right direction, declare emergencies, and we have to deport these people. And that means if Venezuela won't take them back and others won't take them back and the feds won't put sanctions on Venezuela, the governor of Texas just seizes the major gas station chains. There's three of them that are owned by Venezuela. It's time to take the gloves off, and they'll start taking their illegal invaders back real quick. The Texas governor can simply order the state police to set up internal checkpoints by declaring emergency. And this is when you do it. It's when you're overrun. Not before the crisis gets so bad you can't fix it. And the governor can turn back any of the trucks or people that get on state roads and can seize them. You want war? You got it. You brought us here.
So I found this shocking video that Alex is talking about, and the migrants in question were attempting to tear down the razor wire fences that the National Guard of Texas had put up so they could make it to the border wall and turn themselves in and plead for asylum.
Sure, sure.
They
sure.
weren't rushing past the National Guard and then just disappearing into the night
or something.
Yeah. They were trying to rush past to actually get to the point where they could plead asylum.
Where the laws will protect them as opposed to try to murder them.
Right, with razor wire.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that Alex is the guy who built his brand on being the anti-police state guy. Am I to understand that he would be okay with internal checkpoints being erected in Texas where he would be stopped and asked to prove he's a citizen? Seems to me that maybe all the bluster about how DUI checkpoints were the mark of tyranny, they might not have been as rooted in philosophical positions as Alex liked to pretend back in the day. Because can you imagine him being stopped at a checkpoint and then being like, show us your papers, and him being like, oh, you're just trying to catch migrants. I guess this is okay.
But isn't that what they, you know, isn't that what all those videos that we watched where my Fourth Amendment rights are being taken around and I will not lower this window down any further than the 2 inches necessary, right? These people would all be like, oh, yes, I'll give you my papers. I love carrying them around because that means that as long as I'm carrying them around, people are getting hurt somewhere else. You know?
I think they
would love that shit.
No, I think so. I think that there is a feeling that Alex has of immunity from the consequences and the negative effects of this. And so the philosophical opposition to him being asked to prove he's a citizen kind of erodes a little bit.
I mean, the good thing, though, for him, though, is that if you look at it historically, anytime you have these kinds of hierarchical, incredibly violent and, situations where they come down on you heavily, it's never, like, corrupted and then used against people that it wasn't intended to be used for, especially not the people who came up with the idea in the first place.
That's not something that Alex has talked about incessantly.
Nah.
So there is a TV show that has come out called Three Body Problem.
I saw it, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How'd you like it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I haven't seen it.
No.
I understand it's sci-fi.
It is sci-fi. It's very sci-fi.
So Jack Posobiec posted a clip of it.
Sure. Because, and how is this going to go wrong?
Well, because apparently the first episode, and since you've seen it, I'm actually pretty grateful because I didn't watch it. But apparently in the first episode, there's a bit of a struggle session, according to Alex.
Mm-hmm.
There is a denunciation of somebody in the Cultural Revolution setting.
Oh, yeah. They don't like it.
Yeah.
They're anti-Cultural Revolution.
What, do you mean the show?
Yes.
Right. So this scene is presented as a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
In the show.
Yeah.
Where there's somebody who's like a traitor to the party.
Right, and he gets hurt real bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're pretty excited about this because there's never been, according to Jack Posobiec, he claims there has never been a depiction of this kind of a communist ceremony that has ever...
Really?
Yeah. And so Alex plays the clip that Jack Posobiec had posted.
Uh-huh.
And it's very long. Yeah. He plays an extended clip of this. I feel like he thinks it's real. And so he talks over it. Here's that.
Sure.
They're recreating the French Revolution. And then if you said you were guilty, they still killed you or put you in a forced labor camp. A bunch of dumb young teenagers being wound up with the state. And now they kill him. Burn down the buildings. And Kamala Harris bails us out. And then years later, they give per city $20 to $50 million to Black Lives Matter for the good job they did. Getting them ready for when Trump wins to burn the country down again. And that's the whole plan. The CIA is running this right now against America on record. So there you go. And now they say illegal aliens can have guns.
So that's where the mind goes after a clip from a sci-fi show.
All right. So the Cultural Revolution, right? I don't know if he quite understands the idea behind the Cultural Revolution.
I'm not positive. Where do you think there are gaps?
Well, I don't understand the immigrants with guns.
Sure.
I actually don't understand what it is the CIA is doing. Is the CIA doing a cultural revolution to us?
Yes.
Okay. Does he know what the cultural revolution was?
He saw this clip that Posobiec posted.
See, that's what I was worried about.
Right. So, it's my understanding. I don't know. I read the Wikipedia page about this.
About the Cultural Revolution?
No, this book. Yeah. Apparently, there's dehydrating aliens or something.
Yeah.
That's in there too.
The depiction of the Cultural Revolution is accurate. It's fucked up, man.
Right.
It's really fucked up.
But it's an inciting incident of a negative in the context of the story.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know why Alex is saying that this is being shown as like this is what the globalists want. The CIA is running this.
Okay.
It's very confusing.
Wait, but I thought Posobiec's point is like this is groundbreaking. It's the first time that we're allowed to criticize the Cultural Revolution.
But I don't think that they would argue that it is criticizing it too much. Because all of this is devoid of context.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. So the context of that is instead, let me kind of put this in a larger context.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that inciting incident, the human race goes extinct based on a choice that a person made because of how awful people were. So essentially, that opening is the death of humanity. That is the death warrant for everyone that's ever lived.
So in that sense, that's not really the way that they're talking about.
No, it's the worst thing that has ever or could ever happen to anyone ever in that show. That is that.
Well, you're not going to get that from the Posobiec clip or Alex's coverage
of it. Probably not.
Talking sort of about glorifying this a little bit.
No. Because of that, a person kills everyone, sentences all to death by alien conqueration.
The dehydrating aliens?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was strange.
Sure. I just watched the show.
All right. I'm not judging you. So, they're going to burn down the country.
Sure.
And now we've got footage coming out of guns being delivered to the migrant centers. Yes, you heard me right. That's coming up. I can't believe they're actually doing it, but they are. We're only 8 months away. They're planning to burn everything down, to say it's all white people's fault. These Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the illegal alien brigades, the military age men, to do this. This is actually the end of the country we're staring down the barrel of right now. All run by the CIA, all run by the FBI, all run by our government. So here we are. What are we going to do about it? We can stop this, folks. We need the governors to face it, come out at press conferences. We need to recognize there's a plan to do it. And then by exposing what they're planning in November, they'll have to back down. But you have to admit what you're about to be hit by to stop it. Stay with us.
Point of order, Alex does not play guns being delivered to migrant centers.
So oh, he doesn't?
That promise is unfulfilled. But yeah, I find that this is so unsatisfying. They're going to burn down the country.
Sure.
This is the plan.
Yeah.
You watched this clip from the sci-fi show. This
done
is the
done.
Plan.
Yep.
This is all what's going to go on.
Sure.
Now we can stop it by talking. We can just talk about it. And if we talk about it enough, they'll have to stop.
Okay. Now, when you say they're delivering guns to migrant centers, what do you see? Do you see like a big like semi truck? Do you you see crates like so we got a whole semi, we got somebody with a big 16 wheeler. They open up the back. This is a migrant center with like what? 150 people. They open up the back of this thing. They pull out crates upon crates of AR-15s and any number of automatic rifles.
I see either crates or that scene in The Matrix.
The scene in The Matrix. Okay, so the thing. So what you're saying is you don't see what I instantly see, which is a bunch of dudes with kind of bad red trucks opening the back up with a bunch of loose guns. Just being like, hey, guys, come on down.
It's got to be somewhere in between the two.
Somewhere
I feel
between.
Like we're at different ends of the spectrum.
I think it's probably more safe to drive with them in crates.
Probably.
Than just loosies.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm calling guns now.
Okay. You just want to get a single?
Yeah. I just want to give me a loosie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Alex gets back to the situation with Gaza.
Sure.
And he discusses what he believes the plan is.
Mm.
I want to understand, and I do understand, what's really going on, and it's very sophisticated, and it's very evil, and it's to create a clash of civilizations. The globalists were heavily involved in staging 9/11, then they go and destroy the Middle East and other areas, and they bring tens of millions of those people to Europe and to the U.S. Then the left indoctrinates them, and the universities indoctrinate them, and basically communist, globalist, anti-Western, anti-Christian propaganda. So there's a Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution going on. So I'm not for bringing the Palestinians here.
How is that?
I don't believe in destroying Israel. But I also, at the same time, don't want the U.S. to be involved. And I'm sick of foreign aid to any country unless it's purely humanitarian. We have our own problems here. Our country's collapsing.
There is no such thing as purely humanitarian issues for Alex, if you've ever listened to his show.
Jeez.
There is no situation in the world where you'd be like, yep, that one's good.
Yeah, we just
probably.
Need to help.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
So Alex's problem is not that civilians are being killed or that war crimes are taking place. It's that he believes that this is being done as part of a plan to bring migrants to the United States who will then be brainwashed into being communists and allowed to vote for Democrats.
That's the issue here.
Right.
In case anybody was confused about what our main issue here is, that is the issue.
That's his issue.
That's the biggest problem that we are facing right now. That is the issue. Just to be clear. Okay. Now that we got that.
This is what animates and is behind Alex's verve.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he talks about this a little bit, but he mostly talks about things he didn't say about Israel's
Smart.
Response.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here just trying to be a reasonable person and call balls and strikes, and I care about everybody, but I understand the geopolitical things that are going on. And we see October 7th happen, and it's terrible. Kidnappings, murder, abuse, and I come out and say I think it's horrible. And then, within a day or two, prominent Israelis and former generals and others come out and say, look, we had attack helicopters 5 minutes away, and we had thousands of troops 10 minutes away. Why did we stand down for at least 7 hours? It's more like nine. A complete stand down for 7.5 hours or so. Israel's tiny. So you can, drive from Tel Aviv in 45 minutes there, and a lot of former military and reservists got in their cars and drove down there and tried to protect people. And there was a lot of friendly fire and things. It was a big disaster. I never said Israel staged the attacks or killed their own people on purpose. Most of them got killed by Hamas, but some did get killed. You're in a war zone. So that's also been falsely attributed that I'm saying Israel staged all this and that Hamas isn't real. No, that's not true. Hamas is very real, funded by Hezbollah, which I said would later take credit, which they have. But then why did Biden give them $6 billion a month before? Why did Biden then defend Iran and say they weren't involved when they were? Because there's a lot more calculus going into this. You got Jared Kushner, saying we're just going to take Gaza and turn it into nice oceanfront property. I mean, there's a lot of provocative stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, Jared Kushner's saying some provocative stuff here. You mean Donald Trump, the guy who supported for president's son-in-law?
Yeah.
The guy that Trump made head of Middle East affairs?
Right.
If Jared Kushner's saying that kind of stuff and you're really worried about it, sure would be bad if his dad got into office.
Hmm.
Anyway, there sure is a lot of conversation there about positions Alex claims that he never had, going on.
Never said this.
Weird that he doesn't mention that on his show on October 7th, half of his time on that show was an infomercial for his book featuring the dude who actually wrote it.
Yeah.
That he seems to have forgotten that. So there's a lot of open questions about the Israeli military response on October 7th, but I cannot find definitive evidence that there was an intentional stand down that's stronger than pointing to circumstantial evidence and jumping to that conclusion.
Sure.
There is definitive evidence that there was foreknowledge of Hamas's plans, but that alone is not enough to establish this point. Even in the most generous interpretation, Alex's version is off, since there wasn't a complete stand down.
Yeah.
There are many reasons that have been offered for why the response to the attack was delayed, but what's important to recognize here is that Alex is saying that it definitely was. If he believes that, he's being really casual about that piece of information. It seems like it should be a much bigger deal for him.
Yeah. I think, here's what I think on that, is that it makes more sense to blame that than to really kind of get into what it is that surveillance does. You know, like, mm-hmm. There is a massive weakness in surveillance, which is that you don't know what you're looking for.
Sure.
So if you have to look at everything, then you wind up seeing nothing.
There's that. And then there's also the complacency that comes along with surveillance.
Totally. I can see everything. There's nothing coming that I can't see. And then it turns out 9/11.
Sure.
You know, and it happens.
Yeah. There are dynamics that are like that.
Yeah.
And then there are just logistical dynamics that are things like Hamas took over roads.
Sure.
And made it almost impossible to travel.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it was a holiday.
That is
things like that that Alex just discounts and doesn't.
Yeah,
you know. So there's the kind of psychological impacts of a high tech surveillance state,
sure.
And then there are logistical, just physical realities.
And the asymmetric force, of course, means that they're like, oh, there's no way that they would actually attack us on their rickety bullshit.
Mm-hmm. So Alex expresses that if he gets shit over this, he's going to talk about it a lot more.
I'm sorry, it's him again.
Yeah.
Again, if anybody's mad at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about this more.
Just to be clear.
I mean, if I wanted to demonize Israel, it'd be really easy. In fact, look out, because if I get attacked for this, people claim I'm making this up, I'll just do weeks of shows showing you nothing but war crimes. And we are going to show some of those war crimes, ladies and gentlemen. You know, my argument for showing some of it but not making it my central issue is the UN shutdown of the world for 3 years in the third world, 2 years in the West, has killed over 80 million people from starvation, the UN admits. Not the virus, but the lockdowns. So we don't hear about the 80-plus million that starved to death, malnutrition, from the lockdowns, which were very intense in the third world, Africa, Latin America, Asia. We only hear about the 20,000 dead Palestinian civilians, which is terrible. Then I ask, why are we being shown this constantly, and why is Israel putting it out and making these incredible statements while we're not talking about the global mass extermination that even rivals what Mao Zedong and the communist Chinese did? In fact, the globalists, with all this lockdown starvation and cutting off fertilizer and food, have already killed more people than Mao Zedong did. So there's that. So I don't lessen what's happened to Palestinians. I'm like, okay, that's important. What about all this? So there's larger things at play here that people aren't talking about, big picture. And it's very tribal, very simple to choose the Israeli side or choose the Palestinian side. I'm pulling back and saying, day one, why did Israel stand out?
So you can kind of see here how Alex doesn't really care a lot about this issue, but he sees it as a way to further his other talking points. Alex is taking the horror of what you see being done to Palestinians, and he's using it to fuel his fear-mongering about immigrants. He's taking that horror and telling you that it's a minor thing compared to the supposed lockdowns that have killed everyone everywhere that is really what's important.
Yeah.
You know, you see this exact same impulse generally through a ton of Alex's coverage.
Yeah.
What comes to mind is the way he covered the Dylann Roof mass shooting at that church when he was like talking about if he really wanted to kill black people, he should have become an abortion doctor.
Abortion, yeah.
That kind of like, this is bad. Well, let me tell you about this.
Yeah.
He does that all the time, and it is a way of minimizing the things
totally
that he doesn't want to be all that major.
And justifying not caring.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a moment of real truth at the beginning of that clip where Alex says that if he gets attacked for this, he'll cover it a lot more.
Sure.
Because of course he will. Because if he gets attacked, that means he gets attention.
Mm-hmm.
Negative attention is still super profitable for him. So what he's saying is basically that this is a bit of a test to see if he gets flack for this, which will then he'll pretend that means he's over the target. If no one's too upset about it and doesn't move the needle, he'll just go back to being fine ignoring war crimes.
Yeah, in order to farm engagement, first you have to sow the seeds,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. I want to think, I can't get this thought out of my head. If I wanted to demonize Israel, I could do it easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that as a sentence means, like, if you think about what that means, it means an awful lot. But most importantly, it means there's a certain self-awareness of, like, if I wanted to make you hate Israel, I could.
Yeah.
I have the power over you. Not like Israel's done something. I'm sure if I wanted to tell you all of the horrible things that Israel did, I could. Sure, if I wanted to tell you all the horrible things Trump did, I could. But I'm hiding those from you in order so you believe what I want you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's in that sentence.
Sure.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. There are awarenesses that are revealed oftentimes whenever he decides it's time to change the storyline.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the best example I can think of is the way that he kept becoming aware of things that William Barr, former attorney general, did whenever he was like on the outs with Trump. He'd suddenly become aware of something he did in the past.
Yeah.
Connections to Epstein and stuff.
Man.
And then when William Barr was doing things that are good, hey, I'm not aware of those things anymore.
He was a sleeper agent.
It's
whatever,
very conditional. And I think that you're right on. There is, I can change your perception about this if I want to.
Yeah. And in a way that also is like, listen, I don't care what atrocities they commit. I'm choosing that they are fine this time, you know?
Well, they're...
Like, how could you say that?
I'm choosing that they're bad.
Right.
But I'm only going to use that in order to further my other points.
Right.
I'm not going to use that in and of itself as a thing to cover.
Right.
This is only about a piece of a larger plot that connects to my sort of overarching conspiracy.
Yeah,
which has to do with bringing migrants to kill me to the United States.
Yeah. I'm just fascinated that he would... I mean, that's such a weird... It is so weird that we allow people to say things that are so fucking pregnant with meaning that, and then we just go like, no big deal.
He's a weird guy.
Yeah, weird.
So he talks a little bit more about the there being a stand down.
Sure.
But then he admits he doesn't really know a lot.
Great.
Why did Hamas know the Shin Bet and Mossad safe houses on the border and where to attack? Because they were given the blueprint of where to attack and where to strike by somebody. And I don't know who. I'm simply saying probably the same folks that ordered a stand down. So Israel would then have the pretext to go into a full war footing, invade Gaza, commit atrocities, turn the whole world against Israel, and then elicit attacks out of Lebanon, out of the West Bank, and out of other areas. So then the ruling group in Israel that's had a revolution against them with forced injections and all the tyranny can stay in power. Now, I don't know if it's Netanyahu ordered the stand down. I don't know. We know what happened. Biden says Netanyahu should stand down. A lot of people think the people under Netanyahu want him out, so they stood down to demonize Netanyahu. I don't know. Other people will lie to you and say they do and simplify it because they're pea brains. I look at things and do deep research before I make a moral judgment on what is the proper thing to do with God watching me.
What?
So I am not the Jews' enemy. I am not the Palestinians' enemy. And Lord knows, I know that many of these Muslim groups are not cuddly little friends. So why are you bringing them here? Why is Israel saying they're going to take them here? So Israel says these people are so bad they can't even be allowed to exist, but you're going to then give them to us? No! And as I said a few months ago, that was my line in the sand where I began to really say Israel's losing the high ground.
So that's really all you need to know. The Israeli military could do anything they want to any number of Palestinians, and Alex would not care at all if he didn't think that there would be increased refugees possibly coming to the United States. He doesn't care at all about the people, and whenever it looks like he does, it's just a case where you're being fooled by a xenophobia being in disguise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarity to how he'll sometimes pretend to care about the treatment of Uyghurs in China.
Yeah.
But then when it really, you know, the rubber meets the road, he'll say, I don't care what you do to them. Just don't bring them here.
Right.
So
feed them because then they'll stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Or kill everybody because then they won't come over here. That's not important to me. One way or the other, what's important is they're there.
Right. And Alex's response to, like, notions of killing everybody there is like, come on, you're not going to be able to. And that's kind of even on its own a disturbing response.
Oh, man. Okay. I make a moral judgment on what to do with God watching me.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that mean that if God wasn't watching?
Well, but that's an impossibility. God watches all.
Right. So why do you have to feel like you have to add that redundancy if you believe that God is watching all?
Just to make a point of it.
Just to make a point. Just to remind everybody in case anybody was wondering, omniscient God is still hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, man, if you're omniscient and you still need people to remind people of that, you're not doing your job well.
I think it's just Alex trying to add weight.
Could be.
To what he's saying.
Trying to give a little zhoosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he knows, he has all of these conclusions about everything that is rock solid.
Sure.
Now, he doesn't know details about them.
Well.
But the overarching thing is definitely true.
That doesn't make
sense. He knows that.
No.
But he doesn't know any of the details.
That's trouble.
And some people will tell you that they know everything in their pea brains.
That is also trouble.
Okay.
I agree, but not the right kind.
No.
Yeah.
So you saw Dune, right?
I did.
Yep.
It was great.
Alex did too.
Loved it.
When I went and saw the new Dune movie, that's excellent, way better than the first one, which is okay. The whole thing's a Muslim uprising.
It's one movie.
The whole thing is tailored for a Muslim uprising against the American Empire. Months before 9/11, they had Pearl Harbor movie come out, all perfectly timed. This is all meant to create a global Muslim uprising, and out of this worldwide crisis, they will then destroy the Muslims and bring in a world government. I don't want to be part of that. I'm against that. I'm against World War III. We're going to go to break. Please remember, the only way we stay on air is when you support us and spread the word and buy products.
Yikes.
That was not good.
So did you feel that Dune was priming the world for a Muslim uprising?
What I do appreciate is that Frank Herbert did specifically and obviously model it upon Muslim peoples, whereas a lot of people talking about the movie are like, oh, you know, just any old rabble-rousers, you know, like, no, it was specific. He was choosing people.
Right.
You know, that was an idea. So good for Alex for recognizing that. Everything else he said was wrong.
Okay.
By a margin of incomprehensibility.
A country mile?
A country mile would be a great way of describing the distance.
But yeah, I enjoy this broad declaration of they're setting the stage and everything. All of these things that are going on are being done in order to provoke and incite and predictively program a Muslim uprising. And then they're going to kill the Muslims off and bring in a world government, which... I don't know why they needed the vaccine for this now.
Because
there's all kinds of layers to this, the conspiracy, that I don't understand where they fit in exactly.
Yeah.
But whatever, leave that aside. You got to buy the product.
You know what? Here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing about Dune.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what is frustrating when people talk about Dune, whenever there's a lot of people talking about Dune, is that there's people who know the later Dune books, and the context that provides to the earlier Dune books makes you fucking insane.
But I think that Alex is supposed to know all of that.
He's supposed to, but he doesn't. He absolutely does not. There are things you have to wrestle with, he does not do that.
He said that he's read Frank Herbert's deeper writings.
Yes, I imagine.
His letters.
Listen, if you read Chapter House and Heretics, right? If you're Alex, all you're thinking is, man, there's a lot of good sex stuff in here. As opposed to what I was thinking was, man, there's a lot of gross, creepy sex stuff in here. Take that away.
So Alex, you know, he does his plug and he goes out to break.
Sure.
And he comes back and he's trying to show the show's feed on Twitter.
Naturally.
And it doesn't work.
No.
And so he gets mad.
And let's go to X right now. I want to show people on Real Alex Jones the headlines I put out, because they boil it all down for people to understand exactly what is going on and what is unfolding, not just here in America, but around the world. I'm live right now reporting on what I believe to be clear evidence of genocide being committed by Israel in Gaza. Please join me live on X, where I will be simulcasting the second and third hour of my show today. Again, that is the live show feed. If you want the video feed, just overhead shot. I'll show people on my phone. You go to at Real Alex Jones on X. Overhead shot, please. You'll be able to see the live. I want to rebroadcast for a while. I got to reset here. I was totally loaded for bear here, totally ready to go. And not able to do that right now. I've got a lot I'm going to break down here, a lot I'm going to get into. This is going to be very, very important, very, very informative. But you guys just roll whatever you want.
We surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum.
Yes, Alex storms off.
Sure.
Storms off the show.
Because he can't put the tweets up on the screen?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
I think that's really what's at issue here.
That's the whole thing. Can't put the tweets up on the screen.
Little mad at the crew. Not getting the overhead shot that he wants. This might set records for the shortest time away. Because he comes back like a minute and a half later.
Oh, okay.
It's very fast.
All right. Maybe he just needed piss.
And he almost acts like he didn't do it.
Didn't happen.
Like he didn't leave.
Didn't happen. I had to go.
Yeah.
I had to go. When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Right.
Yeah.
And I understand. I mean, people are volatile creatures.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of times, you can have reactions to things. I think this is one of the reasons most people don't want to do like 3-4 hours of live broadcast every day.
Yeah.
Because you're going to,
this is reasonable. Yeah. There's so many moving parts.
Yeah.
Every machine breaks down.
Stop doing this.
Yeah, that would be the smartest move. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it is a testament to the courage of so many people, the courage and sacrifice of so many people that cowards like Alex can pretend to be brave now.
Mm.
Criticizing people,
Mm-hmm. We get to... Another conversation here of the plan.
Yes.
And this is, I'm just trying to reinforce that when Alex is talking about this issue,
yes,
when he's talking about the treatment of the Palestinians, it is only a tertiary concern.
He's talking
to
about
him.
The border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Israel's not stupid. Why would they be doing something like this? Here's a little quote from Galloway, member of the UK Parliament. And this is confirmed. This is going on. That they plan to ship the Palestinians to the United States and to Europe. Well, meanwhile, the border is wide open for all these Muslims coming in. So we're told they're the most deadly people on earth. We got to shoot men, women, and children. We got to bomb everything, but you're going to take them. That sounds like Israel, or the people running Israel, using America as a toilet. So I'm not anti-Israel. I'm neutral on this. But I will also not be attacked by Israel when they destroy a whole population or destroy most of it and then ship the pissed off remains to my country to be organized by the left and the universities into this anti-Israel, anti-America thing, which Israel wants to be persecuted because that gives their leaders even more power. I figured it out. You figured it out. It's victimology.
So you figured it out. You look confused.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not confused. That's one of the most disgusting things. For somebody who's making moral judgments based on God watching
God is
them,
watching.
I would not want God watching me if I said that out loud.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Doesn't sound good.
If anyone should be grateful that his literal God does not exist, it should be Alex. I can think of no one who would hate Alex more than the God that Alex professes to believe in.
So after the outburst and storming off, I guess they got things figured out, and they're now on Twitter, on the spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase Geyser is running the board.
Sure.
After the sort of conversation that Alex had about Don Lemon and the awareness that Alex has of the being paid. And
yeah.
It makes it very strange that he's constantly on Twitter Spaces as opposed to taking calls.
Yeah.
Like that it's migrated a bit over to that. It feels...
Well, you do get money for like... People,
engagement.
Yeah, yeah, people get money for engagement. You don't get money for just taking calls.
Right.
So if people are going to call you and you might get money for it, then take the money. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
It does. I mean,
it's just the sacrifice of old man house phone is the heartbreaker.
It is.
Yeah.
And Louisiana.
Louis isn't
an answer.
He's not coming back.
The gentleman Charles isn't
No.
He's not on Spaces. So we get a call from a guy. I thought this guy sounded like real weird.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from Tristan John. Tristan, go ahead and unmute yourself and speak whatever you have to say.
Hey, Alex and Chase. Thanks for having me on. I just had one thing to say. I feel like America's been doing this last who knows how many years.
80 years.
You can go look at Ukraine. Look at our border crisis like you mentioned earlier, Alex. Like you posted that video. I mean, a bunch of people have posted that viral video. Well, what are we going to end up doing? Like, we're involved in too many things. We're not thinking about our own state right now. Like, it's insane for me. I'm representing the 4th District, Colorado right now, and it's just massively, I feel like it's overpressed. There's too many different things, angles going on.
Yes, your eyes got real wide there.
Do you mean he's in the 4th District? Or do you mean he is a congressman representing the 4th District of Colorado?
See, that's the what you would come away from somebody saying that.
That's what I would think.
Right.
One or the other.
If you're saying, I'm currently representing the, you know, you'd think, well, you're in an elected position.
Or you're there and you're like telling us what's going on in there. I get that interpretation.
That's not
the one that you're trying to give off.
No.
No.
And this guy is not an elected official.
Okay, thank God. Man, I know it's bad, but can we not have people in Congress calling into Twitter Spaces?
Yeah, the Colorado's 4th District seat in the U.S. House of Representatives is currently vacant since Ken Buck stepped down. The seat is going to be filled in November, but that primary isn't even until June.
Yeah.
And there's the State House of Representatives. This guy's name doesn't match that
right.
person
yeah.
either.
He's not Ben Huck or whatever.
But that's what he wants. Your eyes got so wide when he said that because that's the impression that's supposed
to be. That's what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Oh, my.
So most of the calls are not really that interesting.
Sure.
There's a lot of...
I mean, it's Twitter Spaces.
There's a lot of agreement broadly
sure.
with the Israel's actions, the government military actions against the Palestinian civilians is unacceptable.
Yeah.
This needs to stop. That is generally, and I don't think anybody calls in that I can think of who disagreed, honestly.
Hmm.
It's a position that InfoWars listeners in this Twitter space... fine with.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Alex's response to that is going to be, because it's not really that controversial. There's not fighting that's happening because of it in this Twitter space. He's not getting a lot of shit for his position.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the standard of being above the target is you get a lot of flack, certainly not seeing that here.
I mean, even the government at this point is like, maybe we should do something.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been paying for the whole thing. You know?
Right.
So it's like... you are not taking a courageous stand if the financier is finally going, maybe we should cut off the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this leads to another call
uh-huh.
that Alex gets where everything changes.
All right. Let's hear next from a really good cheeseburger. Are you still with us? Go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say.
I'm delicious.
Okay. It looks like a really good cheeseburger is just listening. Let's hear from Truth Seeker. Truth Seeker, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say.
What's going on, Brother Alex? Again, it's good to talk to you, brother. It's good to talk to you, too, Chase. How y'all doing?
We're here live, reaching millions of people right now.
Not to change the subject completely, but did you see where there was an attack in Russia just a little while ago? About 10 minutes ago.
No, we didn't. What, another drone attack, or what happened?
It was at a theater. They're saying there was explosions. Hold on, let me tell you exactly what it was at. It was a Corcus City Hall concert venue is what it was. There was a attack, explosions and everything, heavy gunfire. Everything
guys,
else.
Type in attack in Russia. No, I did not know about that. Tell us what's happening.
It's just a massive explosion they heard. I guess people are, I'm not sure exactly the full details because it just happened, but it's just.
Well, NATO has said they're not going to move to terror attacks in Russia. Again, there it is breaking. A club and shopping center in Moscow, Russia, appears to be the target of a terror attack. Multiple gunmen and military-style fatigues recorded shooting at people with rifles in the concert hall. So they're trying to push Russia into direct war. Wow. Yeah, look at that shopping mall on fire.
So immediately upon hearing about this, Alex has his narrative set.
Yeah. The amount of information that he has.
Zero.
Regarding this particular thing.
Well, you heard him get all of that information
totally.
That he has.
And the quickness with which he has created an entire scenario.
He knows it all.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sad to not hear from a really good cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I do think that's the one thing that I like about Twitter Spaces is the potential for Chase and Alex to have to use people's fucking stupid aliases.
Yeah, the gamer tags and the names are always fun whenever people are forced to say them out loud and treat them as a real name.
Also, this is one of two people who go by Truth Seeker who end up getting through.
Eek.
So that might be a little bit of a
listen,
a little too standard of a name.
There's nothing that points you out as somebody who is not one of those sheep who just goes along with the crowd, like having the exact same name as everybody else around you.
Right. Yeah, I hate to say that I distrust anybody who calls themselves Truth Seeker, but you're playing from a disadvantage. You're starting off on a bad foot.
When great writers in like the fucking 1800s started calling people shit like Truth Seeker, even then everybody was like, man, just fucking take her down a notch. Call him Terrence. Terrence is a great name.
Not a bad name.
Yeah.
So Alex evolves this narrative pretty quickly and pretty smoothly.
Sure.
We're in the end times.
Oh, my God. You brought this up. We're showing footage right now, not on the Spaces, but on the X feed at Alex Jones' channel, Real Alex Jones. This is people, it looks like, in military garb of the Ukrainians shooting people at a music event. Wow.
Crazy times we're in, brother. That's all I wanted to point out. God bless you all. Just keep fighting the fight. We're all Alpha Warriors, and just keep fighting the fight.
Brother, glad you brought that up. Wow, started 10 minutes ago.
So you can tell that Alex is obviously interested in reporting the story in a particular way, and that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. They're in Ukrainian garb.
Wow.
Yeah. So the one thing I'm really struck by on this episode is how much Alex seems to be invested in playing what amounts to gore footage. He plays the video of the drone killing in Gaza multiple times and even zoomed in. He plays a long stretch of the shooting videos that were released by WikiLeaks from Iraq. He plays that murder scene from Three Body Problem, sci-fi show.
Great.
And now he's playing the video of this breaking news in Moscow that's grotesque.
Fucking
like it's
hell.
Very excessive for the span of one episode, and it's notable. I don't know what it means exactly, but Alex is really interested in airing this footage, playing these videos.
Yeah, it's very strange. A lot of this is like, do you remember how often people were like, "Oh, video games are going to desensitize you to violence"? Like there was that stretch of time between 2004 and 2015 where it was like, anytime somebody talked about video games, it was like, "Oh, it's gonna make the kids psychopaths," you know?
Yeah, I think even Alex.
Yeah, I genuinely think it's gone the complete opposite direction. The people who play violent video games are not psychopaths, but everybody else fucking is. Mm. Like Alex doing that, just like, hey, that is desensitizing people to real violence. That's real violence. Whenever I play a video game, I enter into this false reality knowing it's not real.
Right.
You know? I'm not desensitized to anything. I'm going into a false reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
This is desensitization.
It is.
This is what it is.
And it's frying people with extreme stimulus, which may be the same, like it may
burning off nerve endings,
play in the same waters.
Yeah,
but there is also just a like it's overriding your ability to experience and think in the moment. You're seeing these horrors and you're seeing this awful shit, and then Alex is feeding you, be afraid of people at the border.
Totally.
You know, and that's the way that all of this emotional energy is intended to be directed.
Totally.
It's
and
grotesque.
The amount of atrocity and the lack of giving a fuck about it from Alex is kind of what what is so scary is, like, because to me it feels like the reasonable response from an info warrior, not an actual reasonable response, but if I'm an info warrior listening to this, my response is like, well, I don't care about people elsewhere, period. I can't. The only thing I do anytime I care about people outside of the United States, I just go, there's murder happening. And it feels terrible, so I'm only going to care about the murders happening here, you know?
Well, and whenever I see something happening, how is this about me?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That is also the yeah. impetus and the instinct. And it's
fucking hell, man.
So Alex talks about this footage in Moscow, and he has some takes.
Look at that burning shopping mall. What the hell? Man, this is... They're trying to get Russia to over-respond. Chase, can you feel the danger?
Yeah. And the thing that comes to mind looking at all this is something Jordan Peterson said that I really admire and believe comes to mind all the time. Is you think it's scary what a strong man in leadership will do, just wait till you see what a weak man in leadership will do. And this is what the world looks like when somebody like Joe Biden is the president of the United States.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's fade up the audio fader and start with the burning building, start with the attack on the concert, start with the... Oh, they're downloading the videos right now. Download them right now. I'm going to play the audio. Oh, my God.
Alex really wants to play this video. And I feel like Chase is strange, because he's blaming a terrorist attack in Russia on Biden.
Yeah.
Sight unseen, not knowing any of the details, not knowing anything.
Nope.
This is Biden. This is because Biden's too weak.
Yep.
So ISIS took responsibility for the attack in Moscow. But you don't know that at this point.
No.
And you would never know that listening to Alex, because it's NATO and Ukraine that did it.
Yeah. Somehow Biden's at fault.
Yeah.
Because he's weak. If Biden was strong...
Like Trump.
This wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
Because when Trump was president, stuff like this did not happen.
It never did, and it never would.
No.
Because everyone knows not to fuck around.
Right,
because
he's strong.
Right.
Yeah.
So Alex has a prediction of what's going to happen in response.
Print me all the articles. I know you're downloading the videos. Shopping mall blown up by armed troops. Looks like 100 of them in Moscow. Putin might hit forces in Ukraine with tactical nukes, or the globalists may do it and say he did it. They already caught Zelensky firing missiles into Poland. Get me Jack Posobiec. I'll probably take over the fourth hour if he can do it. I know Jay Dyer, guest host, understands and knows I take over. Call Jack Posobiec. He's so smart. I want his take on this now.
Get me Posobiec, the guy who cried at Comet Ping Pong Pizza.
Did somebody write a note? Pin it to their chest.
Yeah.
Call Jack Posobiec.
We found a dead chef with a call Posobiec. Yeah,
that would be a hell of a name to spell right on your suicide or your like.
I know how to spell it, and I still don't. I'm not confident.
Like in that moment, being able to write down spell that name correctly and pin it to your chest. Now that's quality. That's quality stuff.
So yeah, it's fun that Alex's response is that he's gonna maybe tactically nuke Ukraine, or maybe the globalists will do it and say that Russia did it.
Sure.
Because later Posobiec comes on and somebody else, and they're all like, they're not going to do that.
No.
That's not going to happen.
It's a bad idea.
And they kind of scoff at the idea of suggesting that, and then Alex doesn't say it anymore.
Mm.
So he gets shamed a little bit.
It is so easy to bully him.
So Alex is done talking about the drone in Gaza footage now.
Sure. It's Moscow. Moscow.
Oh, yeah.
Which tells us everything we need to
know. Out of the Israel discussion. Spaces speakers can still talk about it. I'm not censoring you. But holy hell, a Moscow shopping center is on fire, reportedly hundreds of dead, men running around in Ukrainian uniforms, shooting and murdering people. It is absolutely off the chain insane. And again, we had Jack Posobiec on months ago and weeks ago saying they've hired this terrorism expert to head up the Ukrainian military. Now they're going to launch terror attacks inside Russia as a pretext to get Russia to jump off the chain and escalate the war with NATO. And he called it.
So I think that if I'm somebody who has heard a lot of Alex's content over the years, I would take the idea that someone might be in Ukrainian uniform as evidence that it's not them.
Yeah.
That seems to be the way that Alex's mind works.
Right.
But
subterfuge.
Right.
You know, false flaggery.
That seems to be his brand.
You know, the people disguising their true intentions mm-hmm. behind a visage of some sort.
Right.
Yeah. In this case, though.
I also think that he's making up the Ukrainian uniforms thing.
Yeah, I think that. But, I think they did make that up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the issue is everybody needs to pray, maybe for 2 hours.
Sure.
That Russia.
Is Tom Landry dead?
Yeah. Yeah, yep.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
And it is time to pray.
Okay.
That Russia be restrained.
This is insane level stuff. Let's do this. We got like 6 videos that we've gotten the audio for. They're in Russian. Start with the burning mega shopping mall in Moscow. People shooting people inside a music event. People killing men, women, and children inside the mall. And reportedly hundreds of dead, folks. I mean, you better pray to Jesus the Russians hold back. This is meant to get Putin to start nuking stuff. And you go, why would they do that? The globalists all got bunkers, folks. They want to depopulate us.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all just Alex extending out the implications of his narrative and his storyline of what he imagines is happening.
Yeah.
So that's how the coverage goes.
Ah, boy, I will tell you this. The one piece of solace that I truly take
mm-hmm.
is that even the billionaires and even the richest people with their bunkers will still enjoy a nice tree from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too worried about nuclear winter.
Okay.
You know, like, I get it. You could survive in your bunker, but wouldn't you like a tree? You like a tree or two?
This is why.
Some grass?
Sure.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But you can terraform your bunker.
I think it's probably better to not do the nuclear. It is safer to not do the nuclear winter.
I think generally across the board,
yeah,
almost everyone agrees with that.
Okay.
Almost everyone. Near universal
is the problem. That qualifier is a real dick, isn't it?
So Jack Posobiec has predicted this attack
somehow.
He's so sagely, and Alex is like, man, if only I could find the clip of him predicting it, wouldn't that be powerful stuff?
Oh boy.
And so he ruminates on that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
When I sit here and talk about how great Jack Posobiec is, it's not to kiss his ass. I mean, I want to hear from him yesterday on this. And imagine how powerful it would be if I had the crew to have him a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 months ago, a month ago, literally saying massive terror attacks on civilian targets like shopping malls and other events, and they just did it. I don't want to be the only guy that's like, oh, God, he predicted this and that. The guy's so smart. Once you figure out the enemy plan, folks, you can all do it. I don't want to be territorializing
it's
this like
trick.
I'm the big brain bug, and I know all the. I want to stop this. I've got 4 children. We are so close to nuclear war right now. I am getting chills every second. I can barely do the show right now. I am so pissed off at Victoria Nuland right now. You found a clip of what? You just already found a clip in 2 minutes? Wow, the crew is over the top. In 2 minutes, they just found it. Rock stars. Here's a clip.
I'll tell you, it's going to be, on one hand, they will claim that is the stabilization of Ukraine. They say we're going to stabilize the conflict. Look, Biden knows this thing's a loser. He doesn't want this thing going on all the way to 2024. Well, he's got an election coming up. He's going to claim to want stabilization. What we're going to see are more of these provocations. Thank you. Provocations going on in the backfield. You're going to see attacks potentially on Polish troops, Polish civilians. You're going to see attacks on Russian civilians, Russian civilian infrastructure. Remember, they murdered a truck driver in cold blood to take out the Kerch Strait Bridge. That's exactly who these guys are. They're willing to take out civilians.
So they found a clip that's close, but that's not the clip that Alex wants.
No.
Because he doesn't say shopping malls, and Alex is saying that he directly predicted this shopping mall thing. Alex is really hung up on that.
Well, it does seem like the crew is under the top then.
Yeah, well, they're close to the top.
Mm.
They're approaching Toppin.
All right. They're hanging from
Yeah, but it's good enough.
it's good enough.
Alex doesn't leave again.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's how I know that it's good
it's
enough.
It's good enough.
But Alex does make a point that, like, that's not the one I was talking
about.
It's
not the one.
There's other ones.
Of course.
Better ones.
Doesn't matter.
More prophetic ones.
Doesn't matter if there are or aren't. There were.
So they give up the search for Posobiec being a prophet, those clips, and Alex plays some video of the attack. And I'm going to play this because of what Alex says over it.
Yeah.
But trigger warning, and I would not generally want to play, because you hear gunshots, and it's upsetting, the reality that Alex is playing this video on his show. But, you know, it's somewhat valuable to understand where his mind goes and what he says over content like this.
Men in what look like Ukrainian uniforms shooting people with shotguns. You think Russia's going to do something now? And the Ukrainians have been all over the news saying, we're going to strike inside Russia. They have been with drones. They've had cross-border attacks. Jesus Christ. I can feel the danger, folks. My spider sense has never wrong. Right now I'm feeling extremely guilty that I did not leave 2 weeks ago with my family in the Southern Hemisphere. But I felt it. I said, I feel like we crossed the Rubicon. Look at the shopping mall in flames from miles away. Massive terror attack. Can you imagine, probably 50 men to 100 men did that? Can you imagine the million Muslims in America, military-aged men? Can you imagine the 10 million in Europe, what they can do when they decide to go crazy?
So this is what Alex does with content like this. He plays it. It obviously is disgusting and emotionally visceral, and he uses that to instill those feelings and plant them in and associate them in the audience with Muslim immigrants and Muslim Americans, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that movie, right?
We have.
We've seen the movie where the guy talks over a mass shooting video about how here are the people who did it and here's what you need to do to them.
Mm.
We've seen that video.
I feel like we've seen it on Alex's show.
We've seen that movie play out a lot. So
it is repulsive behavior, but this is the dynamic. This is what Alex is trying to achieve with content like this.
Yeah, there's just no other way to... That's... And he doesn't... What's so fucked up, he doesn't even know how incredibly fucked up that is.
I wonder.
Like, that was just in the... That was just part of it, you know?
I do wonder.
Yeah.
If on some level he understands the deeply fucked upness of this being the kind of content.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. He probably thinks RoboCop was a hero story, so.
I've heard him talk about RoboCop, and I do know that he doesn't understand it.
Yeah,
I can
tell you that. That sounds right. Yep, that makes sense.
So Chase Geyser comes in.
Sure.
With a little bit of an interesting question, and this is a question
that... You mean he pops off?
He erupts.
There you go.
With a question that I think is probably should be on the tip of every conspiracy theorist's mind.
Okay.
What do you make of this? Can you feel the danger?
Yeah, I can absolutely feel the danger. And the crazy thing about this is it's never obvious initially, except for maybe to you, Alex, you were really good about this with 9/11, who's actually behind it. So 9/11 happened. 90% of Americans believed that it was a terror attack because they hated our freedom. And they didn't have any inkling to think that maybe it was planned or a false flag, or we knew it was going to happen and allowed it to happen. So I'm wondering, what are the odds, Alex, that it's right after this election for Putin? What are the odds that Russia wants this to happen so they can use it as an excuse to escalate?
He's won by 87%. He's trying to de-escalate. There's no... The Ukrainians said we're going to stage terror attacks. They're on record.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd blame Russians in 10 seconds, but because I hope they did it, because they'd use it for the domestic. No, this is full war. I just pray right now Putin has restraint, Chase.
Yeah, so no way. Not a chance. No way. Nope. No Russia false flag. Nope. And to be fair, I think that people jumping to that conclusion on social media were just as wrong as Alex immediately jumping to blame Ukraine.
Right.
You know, like it's... It, you know, just because you believe that someone like Putin as a leader has the ability to do something like that,
sure,
does not mean that he did, and does not mean that every incident is
right.
And I think that a lot there were at least a fair amount of people who had that perspective that I think were, you know, just as reckless as Alex's coverage.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. Putin's so personal.
Mm.
He always knows, and he likes it when they know that they got murdered by Putin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like to pin a note
I mean, if you look back at a bunch of them, he's got a real personal kind of, you know, mm-hmm. whenever it's him.
Well, I think that this obviously has echoes of the, you know, the apartment bombing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think that a lot of people bring that sure. sort of baggage into it.
Sure.
And I think that Alex might, too. It's just that his stance on that is that it wasn't a false flag now.
This is so weird because, it 5 years from now, you know, well, Lord knows what 5 years from now looks like, but does Alex not be on Russia's side and then say that this was a false flag?
I think there's a lot of...
But even though it wasn't, and like, you know, like, is he going to be wrong about something that he's deliberately not entertaining because of his
bias? I think
bias?
If there's one thing I know about Alex, he has an astounding capacity to be wrong about things.
Right, so, right.
And
right.
wrong in interesting and diverse ways.
Novel, yeah. even, yeah.
But who knows? I mean, there's so many different variables about the way that things could play out
yeah.
that would change the... levels of awareness that he has
yeah.
about various things, storylines, allegiances, associations change
yeah.
At a whim. So, I mean, who fucking knows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do think that Chase is asking the exact question that is should be on the mind of a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And Alex is just, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, it was reported these people did it. I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I cannot possibly believe that.
Except in this case, I do totally believe it.
And Alex is like, yep, nope, this one they got right 100%. Wow.
So we get some more calls. We go back to the Twitter space.
Sure.
And this one person has a recommendation of someone Alex needs to talk to.
Okay.
Liz Churchill, you have joined. Are you still there? Please unmute yourself.
Yes, I'm here, and I'm just looking at this Russian terrorist attack right now, and I actually think it would be an excellent time to discuss what Scott Bennett has told your audience in the past, and he recently broadcasted from Global Freedom TV.
By the way, former Army intelligence high-level officer,
right.
Great guy, yeah.
He has been 100% correct. So, with saying that, he did state yesterday on his podcast that this would exactly happen. And here we are. And he also...
I'm going to get Scott Bennett on right now. Keep going.
I would get Scott Bennett on right now. And I would... This is very important, Alex, because Scott Bennett stated yesterday that the U.S. is planning to do the exact same thing. And they're planning to do it soon. He made this warning yesterday. He spoke with Dr. James Fetzer, and they had a conversation together, and it laid the blueprint.
Yikes. So yeah, Scott Bennett is a longtime associate of Jim Fetzer, someone who Alex is supposed to believe is a complete lunatic who he wants nothing to do with.
Right.
Fetzer published the book No One Died at Sandy Hook, so he's a person that Alex should be really aware is not cool.
Uh-huh.
And people who choose to associate with him regularly should be met with some skepticism.
You'd think.
In a sane world, Alex would realize that Bennett is a guy who goes on Fetzer's show and calls everything fake and spouts a ton of bullshit, so he should discount him out of hand. Instead, Alex seems to think he's a really legit guy. So Bennett is not former high-level officer or Army intelligence, any of that. In fact, he's a bit of a fraud.
What?
I say that because he was sentenced to 3 years in jail in 2011 for pretending to be an active-duty officer when he wasn't.
That is a bit of a fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in April 2010, Bennett was arrested for a DUI near the gate of MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, at which point he had a concealed loaded handgun on him and a shitload of weapons in his car. As the case unfolded, it came out...
Taking him to an immigration center, a migrant center, right?
Probably taking him back to his home
right.
on the Air Force Base. Because it came out that he actually had an apartment on the base, which he had conned the military into giving him, posing as a soldier, attached to the head of Special Operations Command, which is housed there. He'd lived on the base for 3 months under these false premises, and he'd routinely pretended to be active duty. He would wear military uniforms to keep up the act
Man.
And everything. In reality, Bennett was an Army reservist who'd only ever been on active duty for 1 week to attend a training session.
Sure.
He was, however, a contractor for Booz Allen Hamilton, a position he found himself in after he had gotten a job with the RNC and it pivoted into that. He probably could have gotten away with this for a whole lot longer if he hadn't been drunk driving with a ton of weapons, but oh well.
I mean, you know, it is one of those things where the twin confidence that you need to pull off a dumb shit like that mm-hmm. is also what leads you to drinking and driving with a bunch of guns in your car.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
You fly too close to the sun.
Yeah, it's the same impulse.
Yeah. He got arrested and charged with this massive fraud, so naturally he's now a vaunted expert for the most unhinged conspiracy shows online. If a complete fraud who's a longtime associate of Jim Fetzer is saying the stuff you want them to say, then that guy is a great man who has a sterling reputation. And this is where I start to think back to Alex's earliest memories of his family working on space stations.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe, definitely that.
Maybe he's not such a great arbiter
man.
Of...
I just hate that it's like... No, you should be like, that's the guy who did it, right? Oh, he predicted it? No, he orchestrated it. He's in on it.
You think Scott Bennett did
Obviously.
It?
Obviously. He's got to be in on it. You can't predict things. What did he write? It's Operation Scott Bennett Woods. That's what's going on, man.
No, Scott Bennett's got a alibi.
Ah.
He was crashing at another Air Force base.
Spy.
Under false pretenses.
Just going from Air Force Base to Air Force Base.
I do think, I mean, there is an almost catch me if you can kind of element to the nerve that it takes to go to an Air Force Base and start living there.
Of all the places.
Stashing tons of weapons there.
I mean.
Because also when they searched his apartment, they found all kinds of weapons
insane.
That he was not allowed to have.
Of what?
Yeah.
Why? The places to do that. That's almost like nobody would ever believe I would have the balls to do this.
Right.
So obviously I'll get away with it.
Yeah.
No one would ever do this.
In terms of somebody who like had turned their life around and maybe was on a better path.
Sure.
I think this is a funny story.
It is.
In terms of someone who's still defrauding people and pretending they were a high level intelligence expert and all this.
Not good.
It's not cute.
No. Nope. Not cute at all.
Also, one of the things that I learned was that he had a bunch of weapons that were like, you know, guns and knives and stuff, but also throwing stars.
Okay. So are you telling me that he did 3 years for impersonating an officer?
Mm-hmm. Among the other crimes.
Okay, so the possessing all of those illegal weapons that he shouldn't have had.
I don't remember if that was one of the charges.
On an Air Force base.
I assume the DUI
He was not allowed to be on. It was against the law for him. It's against the law to be on an Air Force base and live there if you're...
I imagine he could have been there, but fraudulently getting an apartment there...
It feels like that was a great day for the judge. The judge was reading through that case just being like, I don't even know what justice means no more.
Yep. This guy has confused me.
Yep.
So this same caller has another topic that uh-huh. she wants Alex to address.
Princess Kate has just admitted she has cancer.
Good God.
What?
Yep. That's what has happened. She put out a video stating that she has cancer and that she's at the beginning stages of treatment. And it was a very difficult time for her and her family to explain it to her children. And she wishes privacy.
Yeah, they may have already killed her. Who knows?
So we can grant her privacy.
All right. Thank you so much, Liz. Churchill doing a great job reaching 10 million today.
What?
All right.
That's
All
strange.
Right. Okay. When did they kill her? If they have already killed her.
She never lived.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, what was the time when...
She's been a hologram the whole time.
At what point in
Fuck
time
it,
were they
it
like,
a shit.
Well, we were trying to do stuff, but I guess we just have to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
I think that the underlying implication and the way that this will end up getting spun is that she got a vaccine and that gave her cancer.
Sure.
I assume that that's the eventually
that
where we'll land. But
yeah.
Alex is... I think he doesn't give a fuck, and that's why he's like, they probably killed her already. I don't know. That's a real dismissive, like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about the queen or the future queen. Wait,
listen,
is she a future queen?
No.
Oh.
Who cares? Fuck them all.
I don't know how the royalty works.
I don't count. Royals don't count. But here's what I'm saying. All right. Here's what I'd do. I'm in Kate's shoes. I get a terminal diagnosis. That's tragic. I don't like it. Terrible. But I'm going out exactly the same way Princess Di did. And that would fuck up the whole world forever. Like, if I could orchestrate that thing, do it just because I had been given a terminal diagnosis, then the entire conspiracy theory world would never recover from that, right? There's no way to recover.
Maybe. I don't know.
Two princesses? Same way?
Mm-hmm.
No recovery.
I agree with you. I think it feels to me the sense that I get, and, and granted, I'm not super. I haven't been watching this super closely.
Sure, sure.
But it doesn't seem like this conspiracy has attracted the same type of conspiracy theorist as like people like Alex. And I think that the "Where is Kate?" Conspiracy theorists are far more like.
There's just more celebrity people.
Yeah, and like people who are interested in the royals and what have you.
I don't see a difference.
But yeah, I think Alex, you could tell he's not interested in this.
Yeah, who cares?
If she died I don't think, I'd be like, she was already
dead. Well, but it's not that exciting because it's really just like she disappeared, you know? If we had a, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
So Alex brings in Posobiec.
Yes. We got a hold of him.
Yes. And they found that clip. But they're not going to play it.
Jack Posobiec, naval intelligence expert in all this, the most accurate person, it's just true,
ever
in the last few years predicting all this, was on a month ago, 2 months ago, 5 months ago. The crew did a great job in just 30 minutes. They found a bunch of these clips. But in the interest of time, I'm going to archive this at Band.Video. Video. I'm going to archive this at X today. We'll post this. In the interest of time, unless Jack says play it, I'm not going to play him predicting it. Millions of people tune in today. You heard him predict terror attacks on things like shopping malls, universities, government buildings. I remember him saying it. The crew, to their credit, in 30 minutes, found it. That's the needle in the haystack.
In the time that you're explaining this, you could have played it. Yeah. This screams to me, they found clips, but they're not as good as a...
They are not what I remembered them being because my memory works the same way my mind does, where I make up what I would prefer to have happened.
And then... in the interest of time, we're not going to play those clips. Yeah, he says that repeatedly.
Yeah.
So...
Takes a lot of time doing so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Posobiec has a take on this.
Uh-huh.
And who knows who actually did the attack in Moscow?
Sure.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean...
A lot of possible suspects.
I don't know.
But... you know why they did it, and that's because of NATO and Ukraine.
No, again, I do not know why.
There are many groups within Russia that are opposed to Putin and opposed to Putin's regime. And so if you were working at the CIA, if you're working at one of these agencies, you wouldn't necessarily go directly to Ukrainian groups. You could also find potentially anti-Putin Russians like the ultranationalists and others to do your dirty work for you. So, again, we don't have confirmation yet, but there's a lot of potential, suspects, put it that way.
Yeah, put it that way. We don't know who did it, but once we do, we're going to say that they did it on behalf of Victoria Nuland and the NATO forces, and it's going to be because of Ukraine.
Man.
And it's going to be false flag on that front once we find out who did it.
Just too many movies. Just too many movies where it's like, oh, the terrorist group is just going to take a call from somebody who's representing NATO.
Bring, bring.
And then, no. You can't tell anybody I'm representing NATO, but we're going to give you a lot of money, untraceable, of course, mm-hmm. to perform terror attacks elsewhere. Not going to be associated with us at all. Like, yeah, that's true.
This, to me, is the cart before the horse.
Yeah?
Almost definitively. Mm. We know the story that we're going to apply to whatever group this does end up being.
Yeah.
But we're not letting the actual story guide the story we're telling. We're telling the story, and then we'll make the details fit.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
Yeah, we talk about wet cement. They're like, we'll just make a mold. We haven't even poured the cement, but the cement will fit in here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go along. Details will be fudged. Everything is fine.
Yeah.
So Alex does get Scott Bennett, noted squatter, onto the program.
So Alex heard Scott Bennett was just on Jim Fetzer's podcast from a person and then was like, well, we're still going to get him on.
Yeah, we got to get him.
He didn't go, that name is a fucking alarm!
No, which actually, to me, indicates, I don't think that Alex has as negative a feeling about Jim Fetzer as we would like to believe based on the trial and based on how much of a problem Fetzer is for Alex.
Yeah.
I think he still kind of has positive feelings.
Seems like they like each other still.
So
wild.
Also, Scott Bennett seems like an asshole.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Scott Bennett, former Army intel officer, blew the whistle on incredible things.
Like?
He was on his show yesterday. We have that clip, too. Interesting time playing it. Predicting terror attacks in Russia. Scott Bennett, quickly, what do you think is really behind this? We'll go back to Jack Posobiec.
This is the last death throes of a bunch of mongoloids with mental syphilis who mumble in Ebonics, otherwise known as the Ukrainian CIA mercenaries.
Woof. That's a hell of a sentence.
Did he just say Ebonics?
He did. He did.
What?
Said they mumble in Ebonics.
Why? What?
Yeah, I don't know. He's bringing a lot of baggage to this coverage.
I do not understand any of what's going on here.
Nope.
That is... That is inexplicably racist in a lot of ways that I don't even understand.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that my listening to the limited amount that he's on the show for the rest of the time helped clear any of it up. I got no answers for you.
Great.
Just seems like a prick.
Just a real piece of shit racist.
Yeah. So Jack Posobiec comes in, and this is our last clip we have here. Mm-hmm. And he also is of the mind that there is no chance that this is a Russian false flag.
Right.
None.
Right.
I'm being told, and by the way, I'm seeing on Twitter right now, I'm seeing on X, that there are people saying that this is a Russian false flag operation, somehow that the Russian government and the Kremlin ordered this. This is what all the neoliberals, all the NAFO people, the Malcolm Nances are saying. Why would they do that? Why would they want to show weakness? Why would they want to, why would Putin want to show weakness after he just had this huge, electoral, you know, this electoral victory, gives this huge celebration speech, et cetera, and now he's going to come out and let his people be killed like this or order something like that? It's ridiculous and it's nonsensical.
Well, let's go further. I said this when you were on.
To break the resolve of the Russians. That's what they're attempting to do.
Jack, I said this again. We're live right now, but I've got like seven clips of you now, they tell me, predicting this in the last 3 months. So we're going to add this in post or air it later. It's going to go on X today. You can retweet it.
I wish I was wrong, Alex. I wish I had been wrong.
In the interest of time, we're not going to play all these, this massive amount of clips that we found of you, but yeah. So I think that if you allow this kind of thinking, then all false flags probably aren't actually false flags.
I just don't understand.
You know, Bush was just elected in 2001.
Yep.
You know, why would he want to show weakness?
Yeah.
He want to project strength to the world, and here he has 9/11 happen. Does this argument is deployed inconsistently? Because It's in service of the conclusion they want, as opposed to it actually being a reason why something is or isn't a false flag to them.
Yeah, yeah. Listen. All right. If Putin is next to you, if Putin is watching you or surveilling you, Putin won the election. In any other circumstance, No one believes that there was no one believes that it was an election. Nobody believes that whatsoever. And if you act like it was, you are embarrassing yourself. If Putin's right next to you, he won that election because he's a fucking great politician. He campaigns better than everybody else on the planet. Putin is not near you. He did not win an election.
Well, maybe that's kind of the point. Is that Putin is like an imaginary friend to them, and he is always with them.
That is a good point. come on. Listen, you like him, but I mean, still, there's no way you can credibly convince yourself that that was even close to a democratic vote thing.
I disagree. It was one of the most legitimate elections that has ever happened.
You can't, like, even if you try and pull, like, that's over the top. Try and say something that is like...
But that's kind of what they say.
I know! But you try and sell it. Try and sell me. Like, act your balls off, Dan. Mm. Sell me on this is an election.
It was a tight one.
Yeah.
Late voting tended to... I don't know.
Okay.
I can't do anything.
All right.
No.
I'm trying to marshal. Yeah.
Yeah, so we come to the end, and you know, I think that there's some important things to keep in mind.
Sure.
And it is kind of notable that it runs through both of these stories.
Yeah.
The one that Alex wanted to cover, and then the terrorist attack that ends up derailing and taking away his attention from the primary subject of Gaza. And that is that all roads lead back to immigration. This is anti-immigrant sentiment that is being masqueraded through coverage of atrocities against civilians or the people who are, you know, the terrorist attack in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just almost fucking, what would I say, Faustian, like the pushing a horrible... dehumanizing genocidal agenda through the performative empathy of caring, you know, like that's the real dark shit.
Yeah.
Whenever you hide it in empathy.
Yeah.
That's dark.
It's upsetting. Yeah. And I think that I don't know that a lot of people are being necessarily fooled by Alex's, you know, performance of something that looks like empathy.
Yeah.
But I still think even if you're not being fooled by it, using him as a prop to be like, even he gets it.
Yeah.
That is tacitly saying that he gets it.
That's
and you're signing
wrong.
Off
yeah.
on a number of unspoken and underlying aspects of the narrative that, of course, aren't first and foremost in the the tweet, per
se. Yeah, it is. It is. Alex exists on the extreme, which means you cannot treat him like other people. And like other people, you can't.
He's a specific case.
So it is like 99% of the time, if you are doing so, if you're engaging in the like, see, even idiot A knows this, you're fine. But if it's Alex, you're still wrong. You're still doing a bad job. You're still hurting people.
And I wonder if it is the case that in a lot of those cases with idiot A, it
Could
is
be.
Bad.
Could be.
And we just don't realize it because we don't. You don't have as much awareness about the person.
And maybe if we were more careful about idiot A, we wouldn't wind up with idiot Alex Jones.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So we come to the end of this, and
Ruff is a good... that's a good onomatopoeia.
Yeah, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Blue Sky.
We are on Blue Sky. It's knowledgefight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. Beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo!
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.